Welcome to the teaching podcast of Wellspring Church in New York City. We are a community that seeks to live in the way of Jesus and hope that you will be encouraged by today's teaching.
Okay, I want to start off with a question. If you could be a famous singer, one that everyone knew in the world, would you want to be a solo artist or would you want to be a part of a group or a team? So we're going to raise hands here. So you don't have to look to the side if you don't want to, but I'm going to ask that everyone participates. Would you like to be a solo artist? Where are my Beyoncé's, Michael Jackson's? Okay. Justin Timberlake's. I want to make some eye contact with people. Okay. What about where are my Destiny's Child, Jackson 5, One Direction? Some team people. Okay. So this is a question that I was asked years ago during a time of church planting when I was going through assessment to become a lead pastor. And so many of the people said that they would want to be a solo artist. And I felt kind of bad because I was like, actually, I think I would want to be a part of the Jackson 5 instead of be like Michael Jackson. But then I realized, well, that's kind of true because I'm also an introvert. So I do get a lot of creativity in working by myself. I love to get refueled alone, but I absolutely love working on a team. So I was just divided for so long. Like, I think I got to pick between these two things. And then I realized that I don't necessarily have to. That this is something that's a part of the human experience, where both of these things are supposed to be very true to us. We are supposed to enjoy being alone, right? Being creative by ourselves or spending time with ourselves. In fact, we are with ourselves more than we are with anyone else. We're supposed to know ourselves better than anyone else. That is how it's supposed to work. But the moment that we're born, we're born with a family, right? We're born as a family member. Whether we're close to our families or not, when we touch this earth, we are part of our first team, which is a family. So it's important that we know how to do both. In fact, we see Jesus do the same thing, right? Jesus was born into a family. And then not only that, Jesus chose disciples, close people that would walk with him on his journey in life. But we also find Jesus alone. We find him in places where literally he's like getting away from people just so that he can spend some time with himself. And when Jesus spent time with himself, he knew that he was never alone, but that when he was with himself, he was also with the Father. So it's a beautiful thing for us to know, for those of us who are like, you know, Michael Jackson, that sometimes you're going to have to be a part of the Jackson 5, whether you like it or not. And if you are the Jackson 5, then just know sometimes you're going to have to be Michael Jackson. You're going to have to step out. You're going to have to be on your own. And that's a part of the plan. So this series, we've been learning about praying a lot. And hopefully we've pretty much presented a nice biblical plan for your life when it comes to praying by yourself, right? We've learned about praying the kingdom and how you can pray for the kingdom. And I have some of the series topics here in case you want to take a snapshot and go back and listen to any of them. But we've learned about the kingdom, how to pray God's promises, his principles, his plan. We learned how to pray for intercessory prayer, which is basically praying for other people and standing in the gaps for people who might not know how to speak for themselves. We learned about the prayer of lament, what it's like to pray when you're grieving and you're going through tough times. We learned about listening prayer, this understanding that we pray to a God who speaks back and we should be listening to the sound of his voice and it should start a dialogue. We also learned about worship and praying with our whole selves, every part of us, all types, our body, our soul, our spirit. We learned about praying the scriptures to understand more about who we are, what the story is, and who God is. And we learned about examine, how we can actually look for God in our day and find him there. And last week, we learned about conversational prayer, which is how we can continue to talk to God as if he were a friend. He's closer, like the song that we sing, than we can ever truly realize. And today, we're learning about corporate prayer, what it means to pray together. And it's important to know that when you pray in your prayer closet, that has a lot of power. when you're all alone and you're on your knees or you're worshiping in your home where no one's watching, there's so much power. But there's also power in being in rooms like these where we're praying together. And that's what we call corporate prayer, where two or three or even more are gathered with the belief that Jesus is in the room and he's listening. So we started this series with the Lord's Prayer, week one, where Jesus prayed when his disciples said, "Can you teach us how to pray?" He prayed, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And he went on to pray more, but we really zeroed in on that part. And today we're going to end the series with another prayer of Jesus. And maybe you're surprised, like, did Jesus really pray this much in the Bible? He did. He prayed in the Bible, and we have his example. And in this chapter, which we're going to take this prayer from and study just a little bit, he prayed for more than one thing. So he started off his prayer time praying for himself. He prayed that he would be glorified. And then he prayed again, and he prayed for his disciples, the ones that was the closest to him, that were on this walk, on this journey of life with him. He prayed for them. And then the third thing he prayed for is all believers, and that is us. Jesus is found in the scripture praying for you and me. And that's how we're going to end this series. So usually we kind of read together when we have a scripture, but I'm going to ask that you close your eyes for this and I read it over you. Now, maybe you are a person who imagines things. So I would love you to imagine Jesus praying this prayer. Or maybe you're more of a thinker, an analytical person. So just meditate. Think on the fact that Jesus is saying this prayer for you. Or maybe you're a feeler or sensor. So just allow yourself to fully be immersed in all of your emotions in your body and what you're hearing. These are the words of Jesus in John 17, verses 20 through 26. "My prayer is not for them, my current disciples alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved me even as you have loved and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." I want to pray very quickly before we move forward. Jesus, we thank you for this prayer. We thank you, God, that you knew that we would need this prayer prayed over us. We thank you, Jesus, that you were on this earth and you didn't forget us. In fact, you had a plan for us. You had promises that you wanted us to live into, and you have principles that you wanted us to follow. And we're so grateful that you are the perfect example of all of these things. So right now, as one church, as we focus on corporate prayer, we fix our eyes on you. And we ask that you make this prayer true for us. Let it be true for Wellspring. Let this be who we are as a church. Help us to reflect you, Jesus. We give you this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I wish I could kind of check in with all of you to see what that experience was like. But I did see some faces, and I saw that there was something that was being felt as you heard those words, Jesus praying over you. And I want to kind of think of three things, three points to pull out that we can try to understand this prayer even more fully. And the first is that Jesus prayed that we would be brought into complete unity. That was one of the main points of Jesus's prayer, that we would be brought to a place where we would be in complete union with one another. He also prayed that we would share in his glory. And you heard a lot of that, Jesus going back and forth about glory, saying this glory is in me and I've given it to them. And the last thing, one of the points that is important to remember, is that he prayed that we would receive the Father's love, the revelation of the Father's love. So Jesus could have prayed anything over us, and this is what he chose to pray. So we're going to break these down just a little bit to understand what they mean. And the first one is really important with corporate prayer, brought into complete unity. Now, often you might have heard these words actually used in service today. We pray over this church that we would be like Acts 4, a church who is in one heart and one mind. And what that means is every person is coming together with a fixed eye on Jesus, and we're desiring to have the same passions. We're desiring to be the same type of person, and we're desiring that person to be like Jesus. So we all are coming together with this understanding that we are one heart and one mind. But the beautiful thing about being one heart and one mind is that it is dependent upon diversity. So we are not saying that we want all the same thing, or else it wouldn't kind of be the thing that comes together as a whole. What makes a whole so special is that it's many different parts that are coming together to make something unique. It's a shared something. And that's what's happening here. When we come together to worship, our hope is that there's a whole bunch of diversity, a whole bunch of different parts, different people that are coming together to make one church. That's what it means to be in one heart and one mind. Paul says it this way, which I love. He calls this one heart and one mind the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Now, it's my belief that sometimes we do not know what the church is supposed to do or how the church functions as the body of Christ is because we don't know our own bodies. Like, we have not studied our bodies enough. And the church has been kind of separate sometimes from teaching about the body, especially if it has to do with science. For years, the church thought these things were separate. Now we're learning more and more that this is what makes a spiritual person whole, that we understand the body and how it functions. And the reason Paul is so brilliant in saying this is because he understands how everything connects to one another, just like in the body. And he understands that there's causality, meaning things cause other things to do things within the body. So the more we study the body and how it works, the more we understand what Paul means when he says the church is the body of Christ. The body is supposed to work together to be healthy and whole. But how many of us know that's not the case? If you had like 1 hour of sleep last night and you're trying to pay attention to this sermon and your body is really tired and you're like halfway falling asleep, maybe it's not because you're not interested in the Lord or what he has to say, but your body is telling you something. Your body is telling you it's in conflict with one another. Like, I want to go to sleep and I want to pay attention. This is why Paul is saying we have to understand the body of Christ and how it works together to live out the legacy of Jesus Christ. It works together. We have to understand the body. Or how many of us, you know, we might have a fear or phobia, which I love to study. And then you kind of have this way that your body responds to your fear. But then you try to get new information in to help you overcome that fear. But whenever you're in a real life experience with that fear, your body still remembers to freak out and get afraid, no matter what you've learned. And you might be wondering, what is the matter with me? No, this is how the body works. In order to renew your mind about something, you have to rewire your brain. See, these things work together. And more, when we hear things like the body of Christ, I hope that we can understand that. That the body is a special part. This is what makes Jesus so special. In all of his beauty in heaven and the comfort he had, he put on a body. A body that would make him afraid, that was really designed to pick up things, to keep him safe, to be afraid of so he wouldn't harm himself. He put on a body with a nervous system and a body that made him tired to go to sleep and hungry. This is a God who has no limitations, yet he put on a body. So if we want to understand the body of Christ and what it means to be in one heart and one mind, it would be good for us to know more about the body. Amen? Amen. We need to learn more. But back to this point about knowing this unity. If you notice, Jesus said over and over again, I want you to become one. And when you hear this about the body and think about different things, wouldn't you like to be whole? And this is why Jesus prayed for us. Like, he knew that we wouldn't be people who got this right all the time. He knew within the body there would be certain parts that didn't function the way it's designed to. So Jesus prayed over us that we would be brought into complete unity. And not only that, he prayed that we would share in his glory. Now, glory is one of those words that's really abstract and it's hard to define. So when that happens, I love to study words in the Bible, and I encourage you to do the same thing. You can study the Hebrew and you can study the Greek, and then you can look for the passages that it's written in and try to understand what it means. So in the Hebrew, this word for glory, it means the weight of the reality of God. So I want you to think about the weight of God. Meaning the importance, the value, almost as if you had like gold, how much it would weigh because of the value. It's so big and so large and so magnificent that it is weighty. You feel it. It changes everything. It's tangible. So the glory of God, when it's often described in the Old Testament, it's this weight. It's the temple filled the whole place with glory. And you feel it in the atmosphere. It's thick. It's the weight of God and the reality of who he is. You cannot deny when God is in the room. That's why we ask for the Holy Spirit to come. Because the weight of God, we ask for the glory of God. And in the Greek, it's the same but a little different. It's the brightness of the reality or the revelation almost of God. So it is the realness of God. But it's the revelation of how real he is. It's understanding that he's far greater than anything we could ever think of or imagine. He is illuminating everything. So it's almost like a radiance, a beauty that we cannot explain. And I want you to think about that for a moment when both of those things come together, the weight and the brightness of who God is, the reality and the revelation of who he is. That's glory. So I like to define glory as the fullness of God. When we ask for his the revelation of his glory, we understand that the glory is who he fully is. It's everything that he is, which is why Moses wanted to see the glory of God. And God basically told him, like, I don't know that you can see all of me. You wouldn't be able to stand in my presence. It's because the glory of God is so huge. It's full. It's full. So when we're praying for the glory of God, we're praying for all of him. And we won't fully see it in this lifetime. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't desire it. We shouldn't go after it. We shouldn't see and receive all that we can. So Jesus wanted us to know that we share in his glory. He has the fullness of the Father in him. And he asks the Father, can you share that with them? I want them to have this glory with me. And he even says it in a specific way at the end of the prayer. He said, I in them. That's how he wants us to have the glory. He wants to personally be inside of us so that we can have this glory. And Paul understood this so well in 2 Corinthians 3:18, where he describes this beautiful vision of us not having veiled faces. And he shares that we are being transformed into the image of God with ever increasing glory which is given to us by the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we are supposed to be going from ever increasing glory to another degree of glory to another degree of glory, all so that we can be more and more made in the image of God. And sometimes we feel like we're not deserving of the glory of God, but Jesus prayed that you have it. He prayed that not only you have it, but he would be responsible for dwelling in you so that you could have the fullness of God inside of you. Jesus prayed for that because he wanted you to share in his glory. And so often we go to Jesus kind of like an orphan, wondering if we're family to him, when really he wants us to know about an inheritance. You have an inheritance. You share in the glory of God because you're valuable. You're valuable to the Lord. And that's why Jesus prayed to the Father, let them share in that glory. I've shared it with them. But that's not only it, right? The glory of God. What we learn in that third point is that Jesus really wanted us to receive the Father's love. And Jesus even went on to say in that prayer, to make it clear to all who were listening, that the Father loved me before the creation of the world. So before he made light and darkness, before he made land and water, human beings and animals, the Father loved Jesus. Jesus was there in the beginning, fully being loved by the Father. This is why it's so important to know that Jesus took on the cross by his own will. The Father did not make Jesus take on the cross. The Father didn't say the only way for this to happen is for this way, and Jesus had to do it regardless. That's not the relationship that he has with his Father, and he's telling us that. I want them to know you the way that I know you, Father, because Jesus was willing to go on the cross. He wasn't in the garden saying, your will be done, not my will, because he was confused about his mission. He did that because he lived in a body that gets afraid, a body that was told to be safe for 33 years, but then he realized the pain that would come with that. The body is what made him understand that this will is beyond something that human beings would fully be able to understand without revelation. We need the revelation to understand. This is what Jesus wanted us to know, that the Father loves us, and the Father loved him, and he was willing to endure the cross, and he'd do it again and again and again. That's who he is. This love is so powerful that Jesus prayed that we would always have his presence, that he would be in us, which means that we would never be alone. Now, one of the things I know of as a care minister in the CARES Network, where we pray for people and we help them with healing, wholeness, and freedom, I noticed that a lot of people are feeling alone. And I can testify to that feeling of just being alone. And maybe it's because of COVID and us kind of being stuck in that and then trying to get out of it, but us knowing maybe that loneliness too well, it became kind of like a friend that follows us around. But it's real, it's true. Many of us, no matter if you're married, you have children, you're single, you're old, you're young, there's this feeling of feeling lonely, even when you're around people. And this is why Jesus said, I need to be in them. I need you, Father, to hear my prayer so that they would know that they're never alone. And this is why corporate prayer is so important, because sometimes that loneliness could feed us into a point of isolation. And then we think, nobody really cares about what I need prayer for. Or how can I join in what they're praying for when I'm going through this? So what we do is have little pockets of people, and we think it's called the church, and that's not what the church is. The church is one heart, one mind, one desire, one passion, one hunger to be more like Jesus. But that loneliness is so real that it stops us from being fully seen and fully known and stepping into that group. To be honest, sometimes the I want to be the Beyonce and Michael Jackson part of me comes when I don't want to work with people because I feel like it's easier to do it by myself. But we're learning that that is not the way of Jesus. Jesus did not do the mission that he called life on his own. He brought people with him. He did it together. I prayed and I asked God, what do we need specifically for our church? Like, how can we come together and be people that pray corporately but have power because we know that the Lord's here? And I heard three things. And I want to invite us to think about this personally for you to see if maybe this is something you needed confirmation of. The first thing when it comes to corporate prayer that we need in our church is different nations, tribes, and tongues. We do not want to sound the same when we pray. We do not want to have the same life experiences, the same color skin, the same voice, the same tone. We want to come together and have one voice with different nations, tribes, and tongues. Some of you speak better in your native language that you've learned and you do English. We want you to pray in that language. We want you to be who you are designed to be. Your life experience brought into the whole. That's what being one heart and one mind means. Some of us like to move our bodies when we worship. We want you to move your body when you worship. If that's you, if you're the type that wants to sit and be more contemplative, we want it. Every culture, every subculture, every type of being that you can express, we want that in prayer. Brian Laritz, he's an author and a pastor who writes many books about diversity. He talks about not being birds of a feather that flock together. And that's such a passion of mine. We don't want to be robots that sound the same and look the same, that say the same thing. We want diversity. And that is how we represent the kingdom. So we want to give you permission to be you. Be you, how the Lord designed you. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue. And the next one is every age. Every single age. There are powerful prayers that are probably happening on the other side of that wall in our kids' ministry. We need those prayers. There are some people that I even hear in my head right now saying, I'm too young or I'm too old. And I want to remind you of something that Joel, Prophet Joel said in the scripture, and also something that Peter said when he did his kind of first empowered sermon by the Holy Spirit. He basically said this, all of us are called to prophesy, male and female. We're called to say the things of God on behalf of ourselves, another person. We're called to do that. Old people will dream dreams, and young people will have visions. And that's what he said. So I want you to think about that for a second. If you're a younger person in this room, and I'm trying not to make eye contact, we need your voice. You see things that some of us do not see. And we need to hear the visions that God placed in here out there. We need your voice. Gen Z, Gen Alpha, we need to hear what God is doing in here. And if you're saying you're too old, there's a lot of that. Oh, or maybe it's not even old as an age. Like, I've been doing this Christian thing for a long time. I'm too old to come up with any new things. I want to remind you of what the prophet Joel said, that there will be old people that will dream dreams. You're never too old to dream. You're never too old to contribute. You're never too old. In fact, we need your wisdom and your experience and your story to contribute to what's happening here and now. We need every age. The kingdom is intergenerational. It's not just one generation. It's all generations coming together. I believe that's why the first worship service, worship set is so powerful. We have so many different ages in this room worshiping, having fun, running across the altar, babies crying and getting uncomfortable, and people comforting them. That's the kingdom. That's what it looks like. And we have to be intentional about giving each other permission to be ourselves, be who you are. Come as you are, speak as you are. Even if you gave your life to Christ yesterday, he can use you today in a mighty way. We want every nation, tribe, and tongue, every age. And lastly is every condition. And this one, people may give me a little pushback on. But in the CARES Network, we focus a lot on the condition or the state of being of a person. Just where you are right now in your state of life. And sometimes our condition is really good. And we feel like we have something to contribute, and we feel like we're on a mountaintop, and we feel positive. And it's like, I can contribute in prayer, I can contribute in worship because I have something good to bring. We want to encourage you to bring it. But also, if your condition is not good, if you're saying, actually, I've been kind of down, and the only thing I can ask is, like, why, God? Actually, I don't feel very close to God. I feel distant. So when that happens and our condition is there, or we call it like a valley kind of position, we don't want to pray because we think, what do we have to contribute? But do you remember earlier in the series where we talked about the prayer of lament? Where we need people in corporate prayer who are praying for the things they haven't seen. We don't need only the people praying that saying, we've seen this, we've saw that, God, you've done it. We need people who say, I haven't seen it yet, and we need more. Every condition. If you had the horrible, most horrible argument with your family member today, we need your prayer voice today. If you feel like you're in a really bad place, like I've been battling some really tough things, and I'm kind of just, all I have is my tears. That's prayer. We want your prayer. We want every condition, every part. So really during this response time, and that's what I'm hoping we could do as we think about this, Jesus praying over us, as we think about this beautiful prayer that Jesus said, where we are actually brought into complete unity because of him. We share in his glory. We can receive the Father's love. As you think about all of those things, are there any of these three that you know that you can contribute? That maybe you haven't been? Because you think it looks a certain way to worship or looks a certain way to pray together. And I want to just remind you of the diversity that is needed in this space. We want every condition, every age, every nation, every tribe, every tongue. But what that means is that you have to be ready to be fully known. Fully known. Not hiding anything. Not running from anything. Fully ready to show your condition, even if it doesn't match everyone that's in the room. Can you be fully known? Do you desire to be fully known? You know, corporate prayer works best when we bring our full selves to one another and we fix our eyes on Jesus. It's only in that way, when we bring ourselves, that we begin to sound alike. We don't sound alike just by copying one another. It's bringing your full self and then allowing the one focus to be Jesus. So are you willing to do that? Bring your full self. Are you willing to fully engage with God the way that you're designed to, the way that you are wired to? My hope is that the answer to that question is yes, and that we can worship even more freely than we did earlier this morning. If you could stand with me, I really do want to get out of the way and allow God to have his way when it comes to bringing us together as one and sharing in this glory and receiving God's love. And before we do that, I just want to bless you. So if you would like a blessing, you can just place your arms out. And we activate our bodies here at Wellspring because it is a part of how we worship. It is a part of holistic ministry. So place your arms out, and I just want to bless you to know that you are not alone. You are not alone. And I'm speaking to the part of you that often feels alone, even when you're in a room filled with people. I bless that part of you to know that you are not alone. There is no battle that you're fighting by yourself. There is nothing that the Lord could possibly have done to change the course of life for all of us than to understand that we were brought into unity with Him. We were brought into complete unity. So even those who are feeling alone, that are isolating themselves, I pray that you would come out of isolation in Jesus' name, that you would be seen, that you would not hide, but that you would allow your condition to show, whatever that is. I call you out of hiding. And I bless you to know that you are in a safe place, a place where people care about you, a place where people will pray with you, a place where people will get on their knees and intercede for you. You are not alone. You've been brought into a covenant relationship with the Lord, and you've been brought into community with people. You are not alone. Do not fight alone. And I feel that's for someone very specific today, that you might have been fighting alone. When there's an army, a spiritual army and a physical army of people who will stand with you in prayer, do not fight alone. And I bless every nation and tribe and tongue. I bless the diversity in this room, and I ask that it multiply in Jesus' name. We want more nations, more tribes, more tongues, more languages, more voices. God, we call those things out because that is what you want your kingdom to look like. So I bless you to be designed the way the Lord has called you to be designed. I break every curse over the church that says that birds of a feather have to flock together. They don't. We pray for diversity. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue, we celebrate here in this room right now. In every age, I bless all the young people in this room to have the boldness to share their convictions. I bless you to share what you see in the secret place with God openly and honestly. And the same for those who consider themselves too old. I bless you to share your wisdom with the church. Share your experiences with the church. Bless us with who you are as a person, your experience in life. I bless you to have unique eyes in unique places. And I bless every condition, every state of being I call good. Every state of being. So if there's anybody right now that's been feeling a little depressed, like really down, and they don't know if they can get up, I encourage you and I bless you to use your voice today to get prayer. Where two or three are gathered, there the Lord is with them. I bless us all to fully see the Lord. So God, I just pray right now that you come, Holy Spirit. Show us your glory. Show us your face. Show us who you are. Let us be fully known by you because we fully know you. So glory, fall fully. We pray for more of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. You can find out more about our church community at wellspringchurchnyc.com.